just as crush.
How are you today?
Very well.
Good. That's good. Hallelujah. Father, let's start to pray. I mean, we have prayed already a bit. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit. Just come into this place and fill this place with your presence and your glory. We ask you to fill us with your presence.
Amen.
Speak to us, touch us. Pray, Father, that you will change us today, that we will walk differently out of this place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's a bit warm here. Thank you. Yeah. This morning, I woke up. I slept very well in Brian and Mary's house. And I woke up in the morning, and when I woke up, I saw a picture, like, immediately. And that picture was, it was like a plate, like a dinner plate, or maybe a little bit bigger. And it was like, what do you call it? Confetti? You know, this thing you throw out in a party? And some other signs that there has been a real party, or there was a real party. And then I saw lottery tickets. And a bunch of money on my plate. I was like, oh, okay, Lord, what is this? And I felt the Lord was saying that you, as a believer, you have, what you have is better than winning in a lottery. Yeah. It's reason to celebrate. If what God has given you is reason to celebrate every day and just rejoice over what he has given you, what he is giving you, who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. I was just like, hey man, that's true. And so I felt that, and I said, Lord, what is it you want to share, me to share today? Because that's not exactly what I plan to share. And I think I will start to read in 2 Corinthians. You know the Beatitude, it says, blessed are those, blessed, blessed, blessed. And let me go to the Beatitudes first, actually. Yeah. Matthew chapter 5. Here it says, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, blessed are the poor in the spirit. That's, is it good to be poor? And it says, blessed are those who mourn. I mean, that's not a good thing, is it, to be mourning? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Well, it says, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom, inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty. And some of those things you read here is like, in human eyes and human thinking, that's not really a blessing to mourn and to be hungry and thirsty. But God has some things that are so much more valuable. than the normal things of this earth. So now let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sometimes I feel so weak. And sometimes I go to, some of you were here like yesterday in the school of ministry essence, and some maybe on Friday with the leader pastors meeting. And some have heard me tell some stories before. And sometimes I go through quite challenging things. And I go into things that are too big for me. Amen. Anyone else feels that way?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to be looking at myself and saying, well, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can, this is too much for me. But that picture that I saw this morning, it was like, wow, you are so lucky. Well, I mean, we are more than lucky. We are blessed. We are much more than lucky. But we are more lucky than the luckiest. Because he's pouring over us. And what he is in us makes us a unique people, and unique tribe, and we are so different from the people around us. But it's not always so easy to notice first, especially not for ourselves. So let's read from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves to be bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded us to shine out of, commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's giving us the knowledge of the glory in Jesus Christ. What is that? There's a glory. There is an amazing glory. Hallelujah. And God is wanting to reveal to you that glory. Hallelujah. How great God is. But not only how great God is, but let's look here from verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So this power, this glory, this awesome love and holiness and glory, it comes in a clay vessel, it says. It comes in a weak package. The packaging is not very impressive. Sometimes. The packaging is not very impressive, but the content is very powerful. Hallelujah. And what is that packaging? Well, the packaging is you and me. We are the packaging. But what we carry, it's a treasure. Hallelujah. We carry with us a treasure wherever we go. In verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. struck down but not destroyed. Well, that doesn't sound like very powerful. But the thing is that God sometimes even allows these things to happen, or I would say these things that happen to us allows the glory of God to shine even brighter. Hallelujah. Because He, the treasure, is Him in us. And we carry that presence and that treasure with us, even if we are not always aware of it. Sometimes we don't notice. But the people around us notice. You know, when people first give their life to Jesus, I remember myself, some hours after I first have given my life to Jesus, I was in a difficult situation, and suddenly I noticed there was a joy inside of me. And I said, what is this? I'm in trouble. And I'm happy. Why is that? It was something that I carried. And I was so much aware of this presence, and it was always with me. And then, you know, many people experience something like that. And then after some years, they wonder, where is that excitement? Where is it? Well, you know, there might be different things that happen. Maybe there are worries and different things that came into your life and kind of quenched that a little. But another thing that normally happens is that you get used to it. Actually, you get used to carrying the presence of God. Hallelujah. You still have it, but it's not a surprise anymore. It's not a new thing anymore. Yeah, but if it disappears, oh yes, you are aware of it. And the thing is that what you carry with you, you have got used to it, but the people around you, they still notice it. It's the presence of the Almighty. It's that treasure in a clay vessel. Is that treasure in a package that doesn't always look so, well, so different from all other packaging. But there is something there. I would say there is someone there that is so different from everything in this world. Hallelujah. And it's good for us to start to be aware of God and aware of His presence and aware of the fact that He's always with us. And He will, when we come somewhere, He's coming. Hallelujah. When I enter the room, God is entering that room because He lives inside of me. And when God comes, everything is possible. Hallelujah. When you come into a room, even if you might think you are not too impressive, God comes with you. And He is quite impressive. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we just ask You to come over us right now with Your presence, with Your Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak life to that treasure, that life from heaven that is inside of each and every one of us. I just say, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. And Father, I speak to the spiritual senses of people in this congregation that they will start to be aware of Your presence in their lives. Be aware that they carry a treasure with them. Hallelujah. Let's read again. But we have, verse 7, we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Whew. Hallelujah. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may always be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes other people see it much better than you. And it's good for us to be aware of that, because the awareness of his presence, that brings authority. Hallelujah. And God will teach you to walk around being aware of what you carry with you. And when you are aware of what you carry with you, you are also able to, in a much better way, to let it come out of you and shine through you. Hallelujah. So just be thanking God and say, yes, thank you, Father. Thank you that your spirit is inside of me. Thank you when I'm coming somewhere, you are there with me. When I'm speaking, you are touching people. You know, even if you, maybe sometimes you don't choose the words right, the Spirit of God is still speaking. He's not dependent on your ability. I mean, he will also give you the words. But sometimes you might get it totally wrong. But he is still speaking to the heart of people. It says in John, is it John 16? Says that when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witness. You will witness about me. And also he will witness. He says. So you will witness. And he will empower you to witness. But when you speak, he will also witness. Hallelujah. So there's something you carry with you that is just enabling you to do things you could not do, and to walk around with a power and authority that other people do not know. Hallelujah. And don't be worried about the packaging. Well, I mean, there are reasons to care a little bit for that too. But the thing is that our weakness and our weaknesses isn't hindering God. It's sometimes our weakness is actually giving glory to God. Because it will be so clear that he is the one that is working. I remember, I'll have a story from Niger, I normally do. last July last year, I was in Niger visiting a nomadic tribe out not the desert, but it's like a semi-desert. Very dry area. I was there with my daughter and one other from Europe and some of my local people there. And when we came to this village, on a distance, people, it's not a village, well, nomadic camp. Just like, you know, a place where they put up a camp, stay there for some months, and then they go up to a new place. And when we came towards this camp, this lady came running up to us. There hadn't been rain there for almost a year. And it was far into the rainy season and no rain. And this lady came running. And we were exhausted after long travel, and we were just, we were staying overnight with them, and we really wanted to go to bed as soon as possible to sleep. But she came running up to us and said, "Oh, it's you! It's you! It's the believers! Now we will have rain!" Woohoo! She was a good Muslim. But she knew when the believers came, there would be, anything could happen. Amen. And, I mean, we just felt weak and useless, and I said, well, she came up to us after saying hello, and he said, well, when will you give us the rain? There was no clouds. It hasn't been raining for 10, 11 months. She's like, she was impatient. I want it now. And I said, well, actually in the next camp, we have some believers. So we will go up there and then we will pray and God will give you the rain, I said. Oops. But you know, actually her faith just like it touched me. So her faith was sadly not in God but in us. Well, it was in God. It was in what we carried. You know? She knew that it was not because we were so amazing people. She knew we came with God. So we went to the other camp, and it was just in twilight, I got the others that were believers there, and we pointed our fingers to heaven and said, "In the name of Jesus, we command rain to come over this place." And it took like 2 minutes, and some drops were coming, and over the next 10 minutes, it slowly, slowly increased, and I said, "Hey, why don't you go? It's the women, they go dancing, you know, when good things happening, and they all of this thing." So my daughter and the local women, they started dancing, and the more they were dancing and praising God, the more the rain just poured over. And after a while, we just had to go into the car and because it was a bit too much. And they knew when we would come, God would come. Hallelujah. That's beautiful, isn't it? And that's how it is with every one of us. But it's good for us to be, we need to be aware of it. When we are aware of it, when you start when you are aware of it, your faith starts to release miracles, and it makes it possible for God to do things. Hallelujah. And one thing is to just go in your daily life and say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you that you live inside of me. Thank you that I actually notice your peace." Well, sometimes we, as I started to say, we don't notice the peace, but we notice it when it disappears. Yeah. But we have been so used to it. And we can just start to work on being, on sensing that presence and being aware of it and thanking God. "Thank you, Father, that when I come, you actually touch the people around me through me. And even when I open my mouth to say something, my words are anointed and they touch the heart of people. Hallelujah. Many of us, we have experiences like that. People say, well, there is something with you. There is something. Yeah, but that's not really the clay jar. It's the treasure inside the clay jar that is the something. Hallelujah. And the thing is that makes it possible to be very bold, whatever the clay jar looks like, because it's the content that is the amazing thing. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. I just release the move of the Holy Spirit over this place right now. I pray, Father, that the presence of your Spirit in everyone here will just arise. And that we will open our hearts and our spirits to notice you inside of us. Come, Holy Spirit. The other day, someone spoke to me it was on Friday, that God will be, what do you say, refreshing a word, a verse that he has spoken to me many years ago. And there is actually a verse that has followed me almost from the day I was born again. He's bringing it up all the time, and especially the last couple of months. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His strength is made perfect in weakness. And then it says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong." Hallelujah. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I remember I was in Nigeria. Not Niger, but neighbor country. And it was my first trip down there. I was a young man. I've never been in Africa before, but I've been preaching some few places in Norway, and I come down there and I'm invited to preach in this quite big church with it's not very big for Nigeria though, but it's like 1,000 members. I'm preaching, sharing the word of God, and they said, "You have to pray for the sick." Okay, so I saw some very few healings, and I invite people to come up to be prayed for, and a lot of people came up, like, I don't know, 100 people, or I don't know, maybe 60, 70, I don't know, yeah. And I start praying for people, and they had different kind of problems, and pain here and there. And I'm there staying on the row, and I'm praying like that, and everyone gets healed. And then I see over there is this woman with her knees totally twisted. It's like the kneecap is on the side here. And her foot is straight out like that. And I was like, and while I was praying for the others, I was thinking about that one. And I think, you know, I started praying for people here in the middle and went up there, and I think I'll just be very spiritual and go over to that side. So when I reached the person next to this lady, I went over to this side and started to praying for people, and they were touched, and it was like simple things. But to my big problem I saw was that this lady, she was eager, so she walked up to this side. Okay, but she had to go to the end of the row, you know, so I was praying for people and people healed. And then when I came here, I started where I stopped here. Sorry, that's a matter of faith, isn't it? And I started, but she didn't give up. She ran after me again. So after like 2-3 people, she was there again. I said, what did I do? So I thought, okay, I'll just very quickly pray for her and then just run off somewhere. Then I'm finished with her, kind of. You know, I know nothing will happen, so I will not even ask her about anything. I'll just put my hand on and her run off. So I came up to her and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And then I heard a scream. I said, what? And then, are you that? I saw the lady, but I couldn't, her leg was straight. Are you that lady that had you? Yes, of course, she said, of course. I knew that if you could pray for me, I knew I would be healed. Amen. Me too. I try to just run away. But it's the treasure inside. It's not me. I could, of course, I continued to run away and she would not have a healing. But finally, after all of this, I'm okay. I made not a step of faith, a step of doubt. And God honored my step of doubt. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so much more than, He can do so much more than the clay vessel. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's good to be a bit more bold than I was at that time, but I mean, sometimes we just have our focus on the wrong place. Hallelujah. You know, John the Baptist, he was saying, this is the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world. And he had told people, stop following me, follow him. He will grow, he will increase, I will decrease, or I don't know how it's in English. Yeah. So, and then John the Baptist was put in prison. And he started doubting. Is Jesus really the one? I sent all my people to him. Maybe he's not the one. He was in prison. He started looking at the circumstances. Started looking at everything that went wrong. Maybe he thought, well, if I really was serving God, he would have blessed me more than this. Maybe I was wrong in all of it. But he wasn't wrong. And Jesus said, he sent a message to Jesus and asked, are you really the one that's supposed to come? And Jesus didn't really answer. He said, tell John that the sick are being healed, the poor are being blessed, and the kingdom is is preached. And I think that was probably enough for Paul, for John. And then, but he allowed his circumstances to influence the way he looked at him. I mean, he was the biggest prophet, he says, of the Old Covenant. Wow. So if we sometimes are a bit influenced by our circumstances or by how ourselves, how we look upon ourselves, how good we are, how successful we are, and all of those things, we are in good company. But there is a treasure in that jar. It's the treasure. It's the kingdom. We are carrying the kingdom. We are carrying the power of the Almighty. We are carrying His love and His glory, His compassion. All of this, it's in us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you go to Acts 16, yeah, there are some very well-known verses here. Maybe I'll tell you the story. It was the story about Paul and Silas. They were called to go to Macedonia, over to Europe for the first time. And when they came there, they were preaching the word, and they set this slave girl that was possessed by demons, set her free. And then they were put in prison because she had a spirit of divination, and her abilities disappeared when the spirit disappeared. So her owners, they accused Paul and Silas, and they were put in prison. And then, in the midst of their terrible circumstances, they say that they were put really inside the dungeon, the inner cells of the prison. But they started to praise God. Started to worship God. They decided to take their eyes away from the problems they were in. And they started to worship Him. Fix their eyes on who God was. Or what God was doing. I think probably they were fixing their eyes on who God was. I don't think they expected the walls of the prison to fall down or something. They just started to worship. Maybe they focused on the fact that the treasure was there. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And they started to worshiping. They were worshiping. And that's why it's so great how Brian was leading and Mauricio was leading the worship here today, and really encouraging the whole congregation to look at Him. And that's what we need to do. Just take our eyes away from the circumstances, away from our own failures, of even away from our own success. We cannot build our identity on our own failures or our own successes. We have to build it on Him. He who is inside of us. Hallelujah. So they started worshiping in the prison. It says in verse 25, Acts 16:25, But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Hallelujah. But their solution was not really in the prison foundation shaking. It was in him. It was when they put their eyes upon Jesus, upon God, and started worshiping and singing. That's when they have found a solution. Hallelujah. And then it slowly manifested in a visible way for everyone to see. It's so easy also to have our eyes on not only on our weaknesses, but on the weaknesses to people around us, or the circumstances, or what the devil is doing. There are so many things happening in this world today. Ooh. It's like a polarization. It's like evil is getting more and more evil. And it's easy to like say that everything was better before. And that's what people always have been saying. I understand. But God is wanting us to take our focus away from all of those things and to Him. Hallelujah. Even the way we approach people, the way we, you know, God wants to use you, and He is using you. Amen? He's using you because when you open your mouth, you go out with people and you open your mouth, His presence follows. But sometimes we come into talks and discussion with people. I remember once we were doing door-to-door work in Norway. Actually, we had a very nice way to do it. We had a questionnaire with questions to people, and we started like, you know, we are from this and this church. We wanted to make a survey here to find out what you would like a church to be for you to be able to come there. And we had a lot of different questions, and of course it opened the heart of people. So people were like, it was a very good way to do it. And one place we were standing on the stairs there for like an hour. And the husband and wife, they were like opening their heart, and after a while they said, "We are so happy to meet someone who is not like Jehovah's Witness that's coming on our door to try to convince us." And we were actually on their door to convincing them. And they decided to come to church. But the way we speak to people also, God wants us to put our focus on the right thing. Hallelujah. Once in the plane, I fly here a lot, and then you are sitting there in the plane, and the person beside you are stuck with you. It's an amazing opportunity. Well, it's good to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I started to talk to her about Jesus, and she said, "Well, I'm so fed up," she said, "with these people talking about hell and heaven and hell and trying to scare people, you know, with hell. Do you believe in those things?" "So what do you say?" "No," I said, "well, I think it's much better to talk about heaven. It's much better to talk to help people to come to heaven, isn't it, than to scare them with hell?" "Yeah, that's true. It is. And I didn't tell her that I didn't believe in hell or anything, but it's just our approach to say, you could say that the hell is what the devil is doing. What God is doing is bringing people to heaven. And God is wanting us to keep our eyes upon what He is doing, who we are, and what He is in us. Whew. Holy Spirit, we just thank You that You are here. You speak to us and You equip us. You know, I speak in many different churches. And often in Norway I'm invited, well, at least sometimes, to Lutheran churches. You know, the state church there is Lutheran, like Anglican here, it's Lutheran. And the Lutherans, I think even more than Anglican, they are very, very keen on on infant baptism. And when I come there, I'm asking God, what is the message You want me to bring? And I don't need to tell them that infant baptism is wrong, if that's not the message God is sending me to bring. Hallelujah. I'll make sure I give them the message that God is asking me to give them. And make sure there are as little resistance as possible to that. And sometimes we can create resistance because we want to be radical. You know, like this lady on the plane that talks about hell. I didn't deny that there is hell. But I don't need to focus on what is her problem. And so normally when I'm in these Lutheran churches, I will not talk about baptism at all. But one day I was in a conference and the Holy Spirit said, speak about baptism. Preach the whole message about baptism. You know, instead of some people, they will just come one provoking sentence and just stirring up trouble. And I actually talked to the person who was arranging the event, and I said, do you give me freedom to speak about whatever God is putting on my heart? And she said, yes, but why do you ask? Well, it might be a bit provocative here, he said. Well, just go on, she said. Of course, she didn't know what it was. But So there was about 100 people were present. And I started speaking about baptism. I mean, that's like, probably 80 of them were Lutherans. And there was, I was expecting there would be like a lot of resistance in the congregation. And there was nothing. And I was quite bold there in this Lutheran church. I said, who here is it that is not baptized doesn't, after you became a believer? And almost all the hands were up. And I said, who want to be baptized? And it was like 40 of them wanted to be baptized immediately. And another 30 said, yes, I will, but I want to just digest it a little and talk to my husband or my wife or whatever. Hallelujah. I was expecting, it's not that we don't, that we compromise on the message, but let us keep our eyes on what God is doing. Hallelujah. And sometimes we keep our eyes on our weakness or what the devil is doing or what all the problems around instead of being aware of who we are and what He is doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And when He did what the Father was doing, there was always a breakthrough. Well, He ended up on the cross. So the breakthrough might look different from place to place. I heard John Wesley. He was a leader of an amazing revival in England. And when he sent out his preachers, when they came back, they were supposed to give report to him. And if there were people that were saved and the people received the gospel, he was happy, of course. If people came back and there was a lot of persecution, he was also happy. But if people came back with a report that there were, no really reactions, he said, you better go back. You haven't preached the gospel. Either revival or persecution. That's what he said. But the thing is, we need to know what God is doing. Hallelujah. I came to a king in Niger once. There are chiefs and kings in different levels, and there was a quite big king. I think he said he had 250 towns under him or something. And he wanted to receive me as a Christian, and he wanted to be like tolerant and good. And he said, I think the Bible says that all roads lead to Rome. you say that here? Yeah, that like he wanted to say that, if you're a Christian or a Muslim, it's okay. And you say, isn't that true? And that's not really true. that's not really true. I say, why don't we find the way we know we are sure we'll come there? And I remember instead of negating what he said, he started to say that I would really find a true way to the kingdom. Next time I came to this king, he was sitting on his throne, and he had a Bible beside him on his throne. He was the Muslim leader in the area. Hallelujah. But it's so easy, and the devil wants to sidetrack us. But we are seated with God in heavenly places, he says. Shambaro kolobo brekindini misiria landrosia natia rengo sotia. Moses, he came. People were thinking Moses came with a law. But actually, when Moses went up to the mountain, he came down and he said to the people, he said, here's the 10 commandments, and we will do this and this and this, and then the tangible presence of God will come. And we will follow the presence. We will see what he is doing. There are things we can do to bring the presence more clearly into our lives. There are things we can do to be more aware of his presence. But God wants us to keep our eyes on him and what he will do. Hallelujah. Let's just be still for a moment. Here before the Holy Communion, that we need to, if you have If you have something against someone, or there is something that is not dealt with between you and someone else, you need to ask for forgiveness or forgive that person. And the Bible says that in the last days, many will be offended. It says that it talks about all the signs of the last days. It says many will be offended. And that is when you keep your eyes upon what people have done towards you. You keep your eyes on the wrong things. But God is saying, don't keep your eyes on what people have done to you. Forgive. Don't keep your eyes on all the troubles around you. Keep your eyes upon me. I'm setting this buffet in front of you. I'm setting this table in front of you. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, just receive right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare and I release peace over everyone in this place. Peace, Father. Come with your peace and come with your ability to see what you are doing. See the treasure in the clay jar. Right now I saw a clay jar. I saw a clay jar full of cracks. It was like it was almost falling apart. But then I saw it started, the treasure inside started to shine. It was like the Holy Spirit was breathing upon that clay jar, and the treasure inside the jar started to shine. And the cracks in the jar, they actually allowed people around to see the shining of that treasure. Hallelujah. If there would not have been cracks in the jar, no one would have seen how the treasure was shining. But the cracks, they allowed the glory of God to shine out. And I feel that God is calling you, God is speaking to you and saying, don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to be better than you are or impress people with something that is not true. just allow my glory shine through your feeble life. And know, just know that I'm with you. Know that I love you. Know that I will never forsake you. Know that I don't care about the cracks. I love the presence. The fact that you want my presence. I love the fact that you are a dwelling place for me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and just fill this place with your glory. I see that plate again. I see that plate that you have reason to rejoice. It's more, what you have is more than winning in the lottery. It's so great reasons for celebration. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come and speak to every one of us right now. Kendra Balaziri Bindora Kalandrendoyo. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that in my weakness, in all of my, with all of my mistakes and faults, and you live in me. Your glory is within me. Thank you that I know every day of my life that you are in me. Your grace is upon me. Your glory lives inside of me. I'm carrying a treasure that people around me want. I thank you, Father, that even if I don't always notice, the people around me notices the difference. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill me. And I throw myself upon you to walk with you. My longing is to walk with you. Every day of my life, to walk with you. And to bring others into the walk with you. Amen. Thank you, Father. If you want us to lay the hand on you, you can come up here.